Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 705, Halo Outpost Mortar, recorded live on October 24th, 2019. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And we are here, episode 705, right before Halloween. Next we'll have to be on Halloween. We don't have any ghoulish plans for Halloween yet.
No, apparently I'm going to be doing a podcast.
We could cancel it.
I just sit on my couch and watch TV. So
as we normally do, we're going to go ahead and kick off with some house cleaning stuff, going over our stream. So GT, let's kick it off with the Fraggin' Friday results.
You can clean your house. I'll just recap what we did last Friday. We played Halo 5. Lots of fun. We had a full party. We actually jumped into some Warzone. Mm-hmm. And didn't get the floor wiped with us. That was kind of nice.
Yes.
We got our obligatory Timmy game in while, you know, I went and used the restroom. Everybody loves that. I need to find another game like that for our intermission.
A little short game?
Yeah, just something that, if people want to participate, they can. Or if they want to, if they need to go use the restroom or something, they can. No, it's lots of fun. I'm glad that we're getting such a good turnout.
Good. FFA Sumo would be an interesting one.
Again, I would have really appreciated if 343 would come up with a way to actually organize
bookmarks
the custom games.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Alphabetically would work perfectly. Just alphabetically.
Another weird part.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Another weird part about that browser, too, is you'll get to a page and there'll only be one or two slots filled.
Uh-huh.
Like, why isn't this all
filled? Well, it's just because it's not loading from the server correctly. That's a problem that's been in Halo 5 ever since they launched it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not a game-breaking bug, so it doesn't get fixed.
It's just very, very annoying.
Oh, yeah, it is. The whole custom game browser is annoying. Your system browser, it is totally screwed up. I had problems with the older ones, but it was something that was predictable. Once you figured out how it did it, it was fine. It was just cumbersome. But with Halo 5, it's whatever the latest one is the first one in the list. That makes absolutely no sense.
Right. So random thing I found. And I'll get to this in a little bit, but all right, backstory behind this, but I found that you can actually bookmark films from your game's history on the Waypoint website. I did not know you could do that. Random note. Yeah, it was fun. I managed to show up again. Somehow I've been showing up a lot recently. Hopefully that'll keep being a thing. Won't be tomorrow night because I have a church function, trunk or treat. It's probably a very popular thing.
Yeah.
So I've got that tomorrow night from 4 to midnight.
Wow.
I'll be gone. Yeah.
Jeez,
it's a long day.
Around for us, around here, most of them don't go past 8.
So the trunk or treat thing specifically is from 6:30 to 8:30, but there is a high schooler Halloween party from 9 to 11, and then staff has to be there at 4:30 for dinner and prep and all that stuff. Not staff, but volunteer.
Okay.
Volunteer staff. So, anyways, I'm going to be working 6 hours tomorrow, and then be doing that for 8 hours. So, we will get to that in a moment. Well, it will be leading in from a discussion that we'll have in a moment. Anything else from Fraggin' Friday before we move on to my stuff?
Nope, that's pretty much it.
All right. Well, the Xbox overlords blessed us with working Halo Wars servers this weekend, and Laird and I were able to manage to finish out my achievements.
Cool.
Yeah. So Halo Wars Definitive Edition is now done for me. It was painful to get that far because of all the server issues, but I'm glad it's finally done.
I don't blame you.
So now I got to figure out what to do next. I've been working off stream with Bobby on doing the general rank in the original title. We are about, each of us, about 400,000 XP out of the necessary 960,000 XP. So we're a little less than halfway there. We have another, we've calculated out to be about another 30 hours of gameplay before both of us to max out rank. So that should be interesting. And then I'll either do Halo Wars 2 or maybe one of the top-down shooters for my next stream. I'm not sure which one yet. Probably leaning towards Halo Wars 2, but that's still to be determined. So we'll see.
That reminds me, I have to reinstall all the Halo games on my computer again.
Well, luckily, there's only two of those right now.
No, you've got Halo Wars 2, Halo Wars Definitive Edition, Spartan Strike, Spartan Assault.
I was thinking just
the Halo 5 titles. Forge.
Never mind. That's more than two. I was thinking just Halo CE and Halo 2 Vista for some reason, but yeah.
I've already got those installed. You know, the ones I still have to install are the ones I have to download.
Right.
Because, you know, things.
Happen? Is that what you're going to finish the sentence with?
Well, Wise Weekends, I need to sit down, and I found a program that you can use as a caching server where you can cache Steam games. It'll also cache Battle.net, and it'll cache Windows updates. I don't know if it'll do Windows Store stuff. I've got to look into that.
Huh. Okay. I would like to hear more about that when you figure that out. Let's move on to some playlist updates. What do we got going on for Halo 5 this week?
Stuff. We're going to play games.
Yes.
You're going to be fun.
Lots of fun.
They're on a list.
What's the list?
Oh, I'm supposed to read the list. Okay. All right. For October 24th, Roaming King rotates in for Covenant Slayer. Also, Warzone Turbo goes live. Dust's favorite.
Yay.
That is.
Yeah.
Also, October 24th, the Global XP goes live. Or Double XP. So get in there and get your XP. Working at 152. On October 27th is Halo 5's birthday. So Log in and get your free Platinum Pack. And to round out the month, on October 31st... Halloween, Castle Wars rotates in for Halo 2 BR Slayer.
Very nice. The November list is out there as well. November 5th is Snipers rotating in for Ranked. And we'll get to the rest of the stuff next week. I guess November 7th, Triple Team rotates in for Roman King. And then we'll address the next month on the next episode.
Yeah, we'll get a little closer to that month before we go through that month.
Exactly. What about on the MCC side of things? What do we got?
Looks like on Social Games, Halo 3 8v8 Action Sack, they removed BTB Fiesta. Aww.
That sucks.
No kidding. Halo 3 8v8 Action Sack, they added Big Sprockets. Rocket launchers, Spartan lasers.
Yep.
On Last Resort, Longshore, Rat's Nest, Sandbox.
All the Sandbox variants. Those are all Sandbox variants. Multicog, Sandbox, and Wastelands are all the different Forge variants. Yep.
It looks like Multicog, Sandbox, and Wasteland added Sandbox and Valhalla too.
Standoff. And Valhalla.
Standoff. Yep. Sorry. That was cut off on the edge of the page. I had to scroll over.
So
interesting.
Very good.
I would have much rather had Fiesta.
Me too.
But hey.
At least we have Fiesta in Halo 5. Super Fiesta at that too.
Well, it's a lot more, honestly, it's a lot more fun on Halo 5 than it is in the classic Halos. It just doesn't work as well in the classic Halos. Don't get me wrong, it's fun. It just doesn't work as well.
I think all the variants
make it more
fun.
The depth, or the depth of the weapons that Halo 5 has is what makes it so much fun, because you never really know what you're going to get. In the previous Halos, you're probably going to get some type of explosive, and you're probably going to get a precision weapon. Odds are.
And if not, you're scouring the map for them.
If not, somebody close to you died with them.
Or so you're about to die by them.
They don't despawn in 2.5 milliseconds, so you can take them out. I found that in Halo 3, you pretty much wind up with everybody running around with either shotgun rocket launcher or sniper rocket launcher.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah, it's pretty much the way it works.
Yes, it is. Yep. All right, the main article we have for tonight is the latest MCC Insider update. Well, it's technically the community update, but it's MCC related mostly.
It's focused mostly on MCC.
Yes. We had alluded to a PC flight coming out again for PvP, and they detail that a little bit more. There's also a forum post by Postums in the MCC development and flighting updates under the MCC Insider forum. And he goes over all the results from the previous flight. This was the Xbox One PvP flight that they had. There were lots of matches and lots of players. So in this previous flight, a total of 3,720 users played 5 or more matches. On top of that, 1,713 folks hit the bar of completing 12 matches during the stress test time windows.
Cool.
Yeah. And then they have a list of the top 10 players who played over 200 matches during the flight.
Wow.
The top three put in over 300 matches during the flight.
I don't have the patience to put up with that map for that long.
The top player, Bound, completed 429 matches. So the order is Bound, Mint Blitz, Rami, Luke Powa, Faisal 2, Assisted, Remnants, The Dizzle, The Lie, and Mr. Jakku.
Yeah, I figured Mint Blitz would be up there.
Yeah, his name shows up pretty often.
Yeah.
There is a PC flight on the way. If you want to be involved with it, just need to head on over to haloinsider.com. Verify that you have your email address in there. If you go to haloinsider.com and you do not see the verified by your email address, that means you need to make sure it is verified. You will get an email and you click on the link, and that's the way you verify. You got to opt in to receive communications from 343. Opt in to the PC flight specifically. Link your Steam account and make sure you upload your DX Diag. And if you have changed your configuration since you upload your previous DX Diag, then they ask that you upload a new DX Diag. In addition to that, they have all of the things that will be in the flight. And judging by the sounds of some of the tweets and this post specifically, this flight may come out within the next week.
And it's quite a pile.
Yes, there is quite a bunch of stuff. So much stuff, in fact, that there is everything on PC. Every type of thing. I'll readjust.
Not everything, just...
Right, it's not releasing yet. Don't I should have been more specific with that. But there will be two campaign missions, Noble Actual and Winter Contingency, which are the first two missions of the game. Which Noble Actual is just the cutscene. So it's really just one mission.
Yeah, why do you do that? I mean, you put a cutscene in there and call it a mission? Really?
They've done that in every Halo game before Halo 4. So I guess 343 took out.
No, I mean in this. The game, fine. I don't care. Yeah, I'm going to replay Noble Axel again and again and again.
Well,
I want to make sure that cutscene works perfectly.
To be fair, it's a mission that is in a cutscene only mission. So it's a little bit different than the other ones, technically.
Yeah, but you don't do anything.
I wonder if they're checking like campaign progress. So making sure there's two missions in there. So like if you get through the first mission, you have the checkpoint where you can start the next mission. Maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know.
Okay, do that with the first and the second mission. So we got actually two missions we can play. That's just copping out.
Yeah.
I'll just be happy to be able to play it.
Siokta says, easy legendary completion. Easy. Noble Axel, just super easy.
Let's see if we can each go for 200 completions of Noble Axel, because we want to make sure it works really good.
Oh, geez. So that's campaign. There will be firefight matchmaking. This will be 4-player heroic standard firefight on Beachhead, Corvette, and Holdout. And then 4-player normal arcade firefight will be on Beachhead, Corvette, and Holdout as well.
And those are going to rotate. They'll only have one of those alive at a time.
Right. Yes. For the competitive matchmaking side of things, there will be a Reach Team Hardcore, which will be Countdown and Zealot. And then the Reach Invasion will be, much to our dismay, only Breakpoint.
And again, those will also rotate.
Yes. And then in social matchmaking, if it actually works this time, because it didn't during the Xbox flight, it'll be 2v2 Slayer on Countdown, Powerhouse, and Zealot. 4v4 Slayer, Flag and Bomb, Zone Control, Asset Denial, and Action Sack. That'll be on Countdown, Powerhouse, Zealot, and Tempest. And then 8v8 will be Slayer, Flag and Bomb, Zone Control, and Asset Denial on Tempest, Breakpoint, and Ridgeline. Most of the other stuff in this update we've previously covered. The HCS side of things, they're still coming out with videos every week, kind of celebrating the 5 years that HCS has been a thing. The bracket has been updated with the quarterfinals, so all the first round results are in. I actually wanted to do a bracket before doing this, but here's how the bracket currently stands for those that are following along at home. I believe these were all voted on by the community, so... for the first round, Frosty took out Stellar and Royal 2 took out Renegade. So quarterfinals is Frosty versus Royal 2. Roy took out APG and Shotzi took out... I say took out like they actually played a game, but I guess overcome. Beat. There you go. So Roy beat out APG and Shotzi beat out Eco. So that is Roy against Shotzi. And then on the blue side of the bracket, we have Pistola beating out Jimbo. And Miquin beating out Penguin. So that's Pistola versus Miquin. That's going to be an interesting matchup. And then we've got Hook versus Snipedown. Snipedown took that one. Then Lethal versus Snakebite. Lethal took that one. So the 8 remaining in the quarterfinals are Frosty, Royal 2, Roy, Shotzi, Pistola, Miquin, Snipedown, and Lethal. So there we go. Just a reminder, DreamHack Atlanta is on November 15th through the 17th. UGC Halo is also doing qualifiers currently. There are 2 left. Online qualifier number 3, which is going to be this weekend, October 26th. And then there is the last one on November 2nd. And again, this is going to be taking place in Atlanta during DreamHack. So lots of good stuff going to be coming from that one. This is going to be at the Georgia World Conference or Georgia World Congress Center. There are links in the update for hotels, FAQ, ticket purchases, all that good stuff over there. This Sunday also is this month's Microsoft Store tournament. So if you want to play some Halo 5 doubles, then head on over to your local Microsoft Store at 1 p.m. local time. Again, this is this coming Sunday, October 22nd or 27th. Halo 5 2v2 at 1 p.m. local time. You can register by going over to smash.gg/MRS Halo. Or actually, it's different. Like now, it's smash.gg/MRS-X019.
That just rolls right off the tongue.
Yeah. My guess is the smash.gg/MRS Halo probably still works too.
Probably.
Radar blips, nothing new. They, for the 343 stream, had Tiana Los, who is Waypoint's experienced designer. So they were just doing some pre-Halloween hijinks over on the live stream. And then the HD wallpaper for this week is Fireteam Osiris, some of the pre-game artwork that was released. So go over and check that out. And with that said, we are going to head into a break. After the music for the download, we will be heading into our chat with DJ Blue PDX and John Friend from 343. And we're going to be doing a little post-mortem about Halo Outpost Discovery. So don't change that dial, and don't change that channel if you're watching live. We will be right back. Quick podcast edit insert right here. When we added DJ and John in for this next segment, I specifically, didn't realize there would be an additional audio source that needed to be muted. So you will hear an echo from John Friend's audio for about 7 minutes. I was toying around with the idea of either taking it out or leaving it in there, but going to leave it in there because it did get better over time once I found out what happened. So that's what you're going to hear for the next couple minutes, a little bit of echo from John Friend's specific audio. But other than that, everything else is good. So please enjoy. All right. So welcome to the second half of the podcast. We've got DJ Blue, PDX, and John Friend on for Halo Outpost discussions, a little postmortem. How you gents doing? Welcome back.
Good.
Great.
Yeah.
So just to remind everyone at home, because it's been a little while since we've had you on the show, who are you and what role did you play during Outpost? Let's start with DJ.
I am the event programming manager for year one with Halo Outpost Discovery.
And John?
I guess I'm the lead on consumer products and
location-based entertainment
for Halo. Which means Outpost Discovery was kind of my baby. Obviously partnered with Harshan to bring it to life.
And to bring it to life, you did. It was a huge, smashing success, I think, in my opinion. Unfortunately, GT was not able to attend. Hopefully, if it happens again, if the stars aligned or whatever, maybe he'll be able to attend another one.
I'll put my plug in. Bartle Hall, Kansas City. It's big enough.
Done. That was easy.
All right. Location chosen.
So we had you on. Oh gosh, when was the first time we had you on after the announcement? Back in like April or May or something like that.
Yeah, ish. Yeah, it was right after the announcement, I think.
Did we do it that? Yeah, I know, because I know once the announcement hit, I think I texted DJ that night and I was like, "Dude, we need to get you on the show ASAP." And that's when I spent $1,500 on tickets.
And everybody was finally over like, oh, now we know. We didn't think you were actually working for the Globetrotters. Now we get it. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I thought you were working for the Globetrotters.
DJ athletic ability? What's that?
Hey, I athletically don't grow hair, so I'm going to go. I win at that sport. That's Olympic level commitment right here.
Oh, that's good. So I know beforehand we talked about how you guys kind of came up with the idea that was kind of in development for a while, and then all the experiences, and there were several teases to things that we now know what they ended up being with the escape room and the Pelican Trainer and all that fun stuff. So since you guys are on, what was kind of your personal best experience or best memory from Outpost? And John, we'll start with you.
Oof, I gotta pick one. Thanks.
Or several. Let
me give you themes.
There you go.
It'll sound cheesy, but honestly the coolest thing of the summer was the people. And I start by talking about two levels. One is just the funny, awesome dynamic. When you meet somebody in the morning, and by the end of the afternoon, you've bumped into each other three or four times, you might have played a game together, or gone through something together. And it's just the shared experience, the fact that you're there to celebrate the same thing. Like the end of every day was magical. And even more magical was the weekend when particularly for the folks who have been there for three days, the people who work in there, it was just this culmination of getting to know you, spending time together, sharing something that you love, and awesome, and some kind of goofy experience between, and just that far and away, and it's like something I should know in life because DJ already stole my shtick with the whole bald.
My hairstyle does indicate that I've been around the sun a couple times.
So I should know this by now, but it was the people that made it magical and incredible. And I mean, I loved so many of the things that we brought to life, but the best thing we brought to life was just bringing people together around something they love. Like unbelievable.
I have to say that that's definitely a very good overarching theme, I think, for all the outposts.
And then, in special cases, I know that you guys got a chance to attend many of the outposts, at least three of the four people here did.
Thanks.
But by the time I'm older, those are relationships and shared experiences, they don't happen any other way. And I loved seeing people who hadn't met before in real life, but it was that depth of shared experiences and shared passion. Guillermo Andre, collecting pins, and different folks who were streaming podcasting, and people who met each other because they were wearing the same t-shirt and just came solo because they loved the community and wanted to be there.
It's just like my grin starting again. It's amazing.
Yeah.
100% agree.
How about you, DJ?
So, yeah, the people, that would definitely be the theme. And I can throw a couple situations out there that by far stand out as some of the best experiences. I know one of which was the brother and sister combo. I know their names, but I won't say it. And I know John remembers meeting them. The brother had this t-shirt that said gaming with my little sister. And she had one that says gaming with my big bro. And it was Halo Outpost Discovery themed shirts they had made together. She couldn't have been more than what, 6 or 7 at best. And yeah, I think he was like 14. And it was amazing watching them together. We found them on the PC playing Reach over in the CLX area. And it was magical watching how just their interactions and how much they took care of each other. And, you know, she was hollering at him like, how do I drive? He's like, hold on. He hits pause in his game and goes over and does it. And it was neat being able to have the, you know, combined authority, the combined idea. Like, we looked at each other and John and I immediately knew what needed to happen. And I ran and grabbed Jason. Jason's like, yeah, do it, go. And we got, we upgraded them to VIPs for the whole weekend. And they just tickled them. They thought that was the greatest thing. I did the same thing for another couple of guys who stopped me and said, you know, explain. They're like, this is our final weekend together. And we, you know, really wanted to come to this. You know, we've been friends since, you know, and playing this since we were kids. And this is just the perfect way for us to, you know, finish up because we both just graduated high school, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, that's awesome. And they were really, truly heartfelt about how they, you know, how much Halo impacted their lives. And so I ran over and grabbed Jason. He was like, yeah, do it. So I upgraded them to 3-day VIP passes and the wristbands. And ironically, and that was Chicago. Ironically, I saw them again in the airport as I was flying out because they were leaving. They had both enlisted in the Army and they were leaving for boot camp. Whoa. This was their final weekend. Cool. And it was all of these little things, all of these little nuances of interactivity with Halo fans from every different possible walk of life. And they were all there for the same reason. And they share the same passion and they want to have a great time. And it was experiencing that level of impact when you see that this dynasty, this empire that I like, that's what I would call it, this empire franchise has affected generations of people. You get parents bringing their kids and they've been playing together. You know, moms and dads who've taught their kids about, you know, Halo and, you know, in some cases it brought them together. We had couples getting engaged at this event. It was wild. It was absolutely wild. The Make-A-Wish experience was extraordinary and probably one of the most enlightening opportunities in my life to have been a part of. And being able to see how much effort and how much thought went into this from 343, it was tremendously impactful, in my opinion. And at least for me, it was probably the greatest experience I've ever had in my life.
That's really cool to hear. It's nice to hear it, because one of the things, unfortunately, that I didn't get to do much was kind of walk around and really get kind of the experience that some of you guys got because of how many freaking panels I decided to do and all the rest of that's fun stuff. But it, like, those kinds of stories is, at least for me, one of the things that really, I guess, kind of makes me proud to be a Halo fan and be part of this community that continues to grow, continues to have these experiences that you don't really see in many other gaming communities or really other franchises supporting these kinds of experiences. So it's really cool to be a part of that.
At a time when people talk about, it's easy to talk about gaming and gamers in a negative light, it was everything the opposite of that in the real world for me. And it was, you know, and some of the moments were, you know, DJ was starting to riff about some of the moments. Some of them were crazy things that you didn't want to have happen when half his production desk, got knocked over.
I remember hearing about that.
Oh, Lord.
And I was hanging out with Howard, who's the president of Hirsch and Live, our partner in the project. And Howard and I were like, oh, crap. And so all of a sudden we're trying to pick up stuff we're also trying not to screw up anything too much, because neither of us really know which thing should be plugged into the other thing. But we're like, you know, it's like all of a sudden, you know, we're just like all, there's a bunch of people around just kind of chipping in, trying to put pieces back together, get the table standing up again.
Swapping out monitors.
Yeah.
No, it was truly amazing. And that was one of the most terrifying. Of course, that happens in Orlando. First weekend, we're still in, okay, what are we doing mode? And because our first physical activation of this, and of all the things to have accidentally happened, there were no safety rails. So
there were, yeah. After that location.
Oh yeah. Every single city after that.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Cause Jeff told me about it too.
Oh God. I turned and looked at John, and John immediately was on top of it, just grabbing the stuff. I had food in my hands. So I wouldn't gotten food for my team. I was like, oh God. And the monitor was broken in all of that chaos, in which the guys from the production team there, the on-site, said they, in 20 years of doing AV, they had never seen anything like that happen. Our cameras were only down for a total of 5 minutes. That's it. We were back up and on in 5 minutes. And the panel never stopped. It kept going. And that was the Steve and Jen panel.
Was it really?
It was the first Steve and Jen panel. It was wild.
Oh my God.
Oh God. Yeah. No.
So if that video ever gets released, then you're going to hear a big crash in the background.
Yeah. Well, you'll notice because all the cameras went like whoop, like that. Because the PTZ controller, the Pantel Zoom controller, was one of the devices that hit the floor and all the cameras just shot straight to the ceiling. You're like, oh God, what's happening?
Just edit that part out. That's funny. Oh, geez. So during this whole process, because John, no, you said, or probably several people told me this at one point, that this idea has been tossed around for probably 2+ years. And DJ, you've been involved with it since a certain time frame, which I will.
About a year ago at this time. About a year ago. Yeah.
About a year ago. That's a safe way to put it. So what was it, since now we know a lot of the stuff that you guys were working on behind the scenes, what was it like to actually put all this stuff together and try to keep it a secret for so long, but be a complete Halo fan at the same time?
So that was difficult because I had people, asking me questions, people who had been at the original pitch, and I couldn't say anything. I was simply had to go, listen, I'm working with the Harlem Globetrotters. We hid my job inside of that very conveniently, and not saying anything, but also trying to be as quietly encouraging of people to be like, hey, you know what? It's probably something you should get, you know, people are like, hey, listen, we're gonna do all these plans for PAX West. And I'm thinking, I won't be there. So like I'm trying to not say I can't go in on this Airbnb with you. I can't do these things. Instead, having to word it properly. And luckily the folks at Mixer were very, very amenable to providing me lots of excuses and lots of reasons to suddenly need to be traveling up to Redmond regularly, to need to be going to different events regularly before we announce, because we're like, all right, so I know why I'm going to these places and why I'm doing, you know, research, floor layout research, looking at traffic patterns based on vendors. All these little things that I was doing when I was at the different PAXs and things like that before we announced, and I had to be very about it. So I'm like, all right, I'm going there to shoutcast for a Mixer. That's what I'm doing. Yeah.
You did it pretty well, I think.
Yeah, it was, you know, and it's fun because Halo changed my life so much after the accident, and it was an honor to be able to finally, in a sense, give something back to the community, you know, other than just Griffball.
Which is
just that.
I mean, to your credit, that's not something to be pushed aside either, Griffball.
True. I mean, I still, it's the one thing I love. It's the one thing that the one thing I'm good at in Halo is Griffball. Although I'm excited to see how things go with Halo on PC, because at least so far, every time I've tested it, I'm really good in game on the PC, at least in Reach. So I'm excited to see what's, you know, where the, you know, how this all comes out, because I feel like there is a whole new world about to open up before us.
You're probably experiencing what I am. It's just everybody else is worse than you are.
No, but that's what I'm really good at. I'm really good at being bad.
Which is its own special skill.
Yes. And I take pride in being a Respawn All-Star.
Inside the studio, we refer to people as rookies. And that's the polite way of saying that you're on the alias for when they need people to test things and see where for the people who are not good, what corners they're going to get stuck in. So I'm a proud member of the rookies alias.
Yeah, I love the exploration inside of a game. It's
fun. Where do people get stuck?
I think they've got another word for that. I think they call that bait.
There are actually lots of words for it, but none of which I haven't broken into the liquor cabinet tonight, so I'm not going to be sharing any of them.
Probably a safe bet for now. So, John, on your end, what was it like to kind of try to get a pulse from the community on what they would want for something like this, but at the same time, keep it a complete secret? Because, I mean, you go on forums, you go on social media, it's like, okay, you know a general sense of what a lot of people like and all that kind of stuff, but getting some of the nuances, trying to get a pulse for the community, that must have been an interesting task to keep quiet, but also trying to solicit input from a discrete vantage point.
It was really hard, and we were really lucky that we were able to build a pretty remarkable team inside the studio across different groups within the studio. And so we had, you know, different people who had pulse on different communities, both from their prior lives before joining 343, as well as their ongoing, you know, folks they're connected with. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because, I mean, truthfully, in a weird way, it helped us. Even once we announced, we had a hard time explaining what it was to people. And I think that's one of the things we got better at as the summer went along. But it's funny because we didn't, like, it's just this kind of crazy thing. Until you saw it firsthand, you're like, oh, got it. I get it. This is awesome. You know, and so along the way, it was like, we definitely took feedback, but some of the things we had to build based on our expertise, our partner's expertise, you know, other folks out in the world who have built real world things around other franchises. And, it was pretty amazing because we had to make a lot of guesses because there are limits to how do you explain the whole thing until you've actually gone through it and seen it and seen how these pieces connect together. It was challenging, to say the least. It was also, it's funny because I hate to say it, but as a company, we're not always the greatest. I mean, we try our damnedest, but we're not always the greatest at keeping things secret. I was shocked that we managed to get to announce and to launch without more stuff leaking, which is pretty amazing because I don't have the factoids on top tip of tongue the way I did over the summer when we were doing like media tours and stuff, but like number of material partners working on different elements of this, you know, 15 to 20 different companies, right? It's like one group of people built every single thing in there. I mean, you had people who built armor and statues, and you had people who know how to build amazing media dome experiences. And then you had, you know, a company from Eastern Europe that's building a dome on a custom order. And like, you think about the radius of folks who had to come in to help build something of that magnitude. You know, I'm really thankful, obviously, but I'm still blown away that it didn't end up leaking way before we got to Orlando.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
I agree, especially how many questions that I kept getting from people prior to launch. And I'm like, I have no frame of reference on any future or current present projects with 343 or the Halo franchise. I'm sorry if that sounds rehearsed, but I don't.
It's like, stop asking me questions. I can't say anything.
Right.
Yeah, I think it definitely paid off. Obviously, there was the road bumps from Orlando that you guys were quick to resolve. And by the time it got to Anaheim, it was a well-oiled machine. But I think just the fact that it was like well thought out and well put together just had a really positive impact on the community kind of once it got into that final stage.
Well, one of the things that I noticed, and especially to put this into perspective, like John was saying about the various number of coordinated efforts that we had to get in pattern with each other, Orlando was the first time we had actually put it all together in one space in that succinct time frame, and then had to go from there. And it was as much an alpha opportunity as anything. And that was what was really interesting is hearing what was said on Reddit or other places. And of course, I don't go to Reddit, but I heard through the grapevine. And then the people who actually went and had a great experience coming to the defense of the situation. And I thought it was really, it's really neat when you can manage to still hold the faith and the loyalty of a community, even though they know that there were hiccups that we overcame and that we consistently actively adjusted for in real time, sometimes the day of or the day before, to help to try and make the situation to make the experience that much better. It was really heartwarming to see that kind of support and that kind of energy and that kind of passion coming from the Halo community across the board.
Well, it's
one of the single most proud things, or I'm saying this wrong, of everything I've done in my career, one of the things that I'm easily most proud of is every single event. And, you know, and thanks to the Hershen folks, this is great. Like, we did meaningful satisfaction surveys to everybody who bought a ticket after every single event. And literally every single event rated higher than the one before it. And that, like, going back to the people, like, that's a testament to the people who worked on it and how passionate they and how much they cared about trying to deliver something special for the fans and the community. Like, that doesn't happen by accident. And I mean, even you think about, like, I'll butter DJ up a little bit, but like, stage got better every single event. You know, there was this game show thing that I heard was pretty cool. That got better every event. But like every single thing along the way. And it's like, you know, measured across thousands of people responding to surveys, that's not, you know, and I'm really thankful for it, because that's not just, it's easy to drink your own Kool-Aid or there's some mixed metaphor I'm shooting for, believe your own stuff. The, like those stats are nuts. And it's like, it's a testament to the people and how much they cared about it. And it's also a testament to the community that showed up. There were a lot of people who showed up at multiple events. There were people who gave us feedback and weren't afraid to give us feedback along the way, but were saying like, I had a blast. Here's some things I wish you guys would think about. And like, there was so much of that along the way to iterate and get better. And, you know, again, like some of it was small stuff, you know, in terms of like, gosh, how do we float people through security lines or whatever. And some of them were bigger pieces. I mean, having the, getting the stage facing the, VR nation was fantastic,
that,
right?
That made a big difference.
Everybody wanted to do VR and they knew that they were going to have to wait in line for a while. And like, but then all of a sudden there's this cool banter going back and forth. And then by Anaheim, we got people coming out of VR nation and they're going up on stage and they're playing matches and you got groups of people going nuts in different places cheering for them. And it was like, again, it was like people coming together. Not that I don't love a lot of the individual things we built, but it was like all those things just make it so worth it. And like, and from a process point of view, you know, people frankly busted their ass all summer long, and I could start naming names and go on for a while. But from every part of all these different companies involved in it, people just busted it because they believed in what we were doing and kept wanting to make it better. So to me, that was the experience. Again, like it keeps coming down to the experience of actually putting this together was a lot of amazing people just believing and getting on the same page and cranking.
I definitely think it shows off.
I don't think I've ever worked that hard in my entire life. And like, yeah,
I don't think I have either outside of just normal work.
I don't think I've walked that much in that short a period of time. Which ironically, once you added it all up, this is kind of hilariously funny because I went back through and did all of the specific numbers and it came out to just shy of the 0.1, but I walked over all of those events. I walked a grand total of 343 miles, which is hilarious. Yeah.
I'm just wondering if I should, I'm struggling with the believability. I'm
no, no.
You must have rounded somewhere.
There was some rounding in a couple of days, but yeah, down. But it was, I rounded.
That's still pretty freaking close.
But it was 343 miles.
Okay, that's pretty awesome. Even the fact that you got into the 300s, but you probably didn't count a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, no, it was what my Wednesday through Sunday was it. There was a couple Tuesdays that I added because I was there most of the day. So I was like, all right, there's a few Tuesdays I will add. There were other Tuesdays where we got there late, and I was like, nothing to add. So
next go around, we're going to need a significant footwear sponsor. just identified a new business opportunity. Thank you. Thank you, DJ.
Athlinks.
Or powered rollerblades.
There you go.
That's not a safety issue at all.
No. The insurance companies are going to love that. We can go after, you know, we did have a couple insurance companies show up. So maybe that one's already in the pipeline.
Well, didn't
you get the sneakers with the wheel, the, you know, the roller skate and the heel?
There you go.
We did have Heelys
there.
There
were some people, yeah.
I saw some, yes.
I think it was in Houston?
Oh, that's right. They showed
up. Yeah, Heelys was in Houston.
Yep.
Yeah. Houston was by far, I think, one of the best buildings that we were in, just from the look. I absolutely loved the aesthetics of those columns.
Yeah, it was like, thank you, Houston. You actually built Halo inside your convention center.
Right? My hometown.
Crazy columns.
My hometown. You're welcome.
Yeah, it was cool. I have to say, yeah, I like the Houston building the best.
I like the Robo Coffee in the Houston building.
We tried that.
What Robo Coffee?
So at the very end, at the A-Hall, which was by the hotels, there is a Robo Coffee. So you can either...
Be careful when you say that, though. That sounded a little rough. At the A-Hall. Come on. This is a family...
The top of the alphabet over there. Yeah, you could. There was just a screen, and you could basically order your coffee, and they had a little window, and it showed robotic arms basically moving the cup around and doing the coffee and doing out the creamers and sugar and that kind of stuff.
What?
Yeah.
How did I miss this?
Oh, because you were busy building out Outpost.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was an interesting contraption.
I kept looking behind it because I was convinced that there must be somebody somewhere hidden inside that cabinet. I was like, come on.
It's big enough to hide somebody.
You've got some small people in there somewhere. I don't know what's going on.
Pins asked, how did it taste? I don't drink coffee, so just from my wife's testimony of it, it's decent.
It was solid.
It's not the greatest coffee.
It was the robot. The robot really sold it.
It wasn't Starbucks.
Better than Dunkin', not as good as Starbucks, I guess.
Oh, those are fighting words. Dunkin' is the Dunkin's the bomb. Come on, dude.
Wow.
I like weak coffee. It's flavored like America. With lots of sugar. This is how I roll.
Hey, whatever keeps you
keep
going.
Your damn robots. I'm going to Dunkin'. I'm picking Dunkin' number one.
I am not a coffee drinker at all, so no caffeine for me, whatever.
I am slightly caffeinated all the time.
I feel like you actually probably have a similar gene that is in coffee beans, because you clearly you create your own caffeine.
Also true.
It's also magical. True.
I discovered that while I was in Australia. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh geez. Yeah. So during the whole process, what was the most difficult or challenging thing to kind of get going, whether it's an experience or whether it was any of the panels or stage stuff? What was kind of one of those things where things didn't quite go right in the back end, but in the end it turned out just fine, if there were any of those kind of stories?
Oh, no, of course not.
Liar!
Other than the table, of course.
I mean, it's tough. There were some things that came in really hot. And from a fabrication point of view, you know, the escape rooms came in hot at the end. And that was, you know, that was a hard process. I mean, a lot of people don't realize, but KP and Tyler on the 343 team were basically living in Orlando almost the month leading up to launch. As we're going through reviews and working with the Hershen Studios folks and a couple of the fabricators who were local there. So there was stuff that was coming down to the wire. And then you had the crazy dynamics of, you know, you get on the show floor and all of a sudden this case gets, you know, scuffed up, or the Warthog windshield has magically disappeared overnight.
God.
And it's actually not. I forgot where we lost it. I think we lost it in Houston.
Yeah, it got thrown out.
Yeah, so it's like it was there during setup, and then you come in Friday morning for the final setup before the doors open, and it's like, we're missing a windshield. It's like, oh, how did that happen? And you literally had like senior executives from Hershen were like looking through dumpsters the night before at 10 o'clock at night, and we're all scrambling around looking for stuff in the morning. And then sometimes you just got to roll with it. You're like, hey, you know, Warthog got knocked off in combat. That happened. And, you know, that's just the reality of the future, the future that the UNSC is dealing with. And so we're just going to take a picture, and it still looks badass and huge. So we're excited. But so there were a bunch of those different stories. And then obviously, like, we had plenty of kinks that we had to work through and figure out, from communicating better to ourselves and to fans. And I'll say this politely, but you know, anytime you're in a customer service or a customer facing position, like sometimes you hear when you've stubbed your toe, and that's hard too. But the coolest thing is, you know, we all listened and learned. So it's I forgot whatever the expression is, that all's well, that I guess it's all's well that ends well. But the windshield was a high one on my list, because it's like, wow, really?
I didn't even notice.
Well, the cool thing was, actually, I mean, there was an original windshield that actually had gotten stuck in customs. So the windshield was like a source of consternation, stress, and humor all summer long, because one windshield got stuck in customs, and then then the replacement windshield made it to Houston until it got thrown out by accident, and then the one that had been in customs reappeared, and it's like, okay, cool, like whatever. You know, God knows, the UNSC doesn't know what they're doing with windshields, but we're just taking pictures.
Can we get an airdrop, please?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I would say the most challenging aspect was probably also the most fun aspect for me. It was learning the process. Obviously, it's kind of impossible to have a background in doing this because it's something like this has never been done before. So kind of you're coming hot. I mean, I went from working at Microsoft to working then on this project with Hershen and the Globetrotters, and not having a background in event management like that, but knowing kind of the ropes of at least what I thought I wanted, learning the processes in getting, looking at the approval process, going through, and then taking what you want, what your vision is, and having it constantly be on the fly. I mean, when you're doing a solo production like live streaming, you've got your end game. You know what you want it to look like, and you're in control. When you've got multiple different vested partners who all have a piece of this puzzle to put together, you have to be fluid in that process and be able to change on the fly immediately in a direction, because there's just some things that are out of control, and we've only got so much time before D-Day, and we got to get going. You have to adjust it. And I owe a lot to Jason and Jeff Easterling and James Monasmith, especially, and KP and Sarah for consistently teaching me and being so unbelievably patient and understanding as I was adjusting to learning how to do this and the right way to get this project going as quickly as possible, while keeping all those different elements in play and really taking a step back to look at all the different influences that come in. That was the biggest challenge, and I had to adjust really fast, but it was also one of those best learning experiences ever, because it translates to a lot of different areas in life than just career moves.
I remember several late night calls where you were freaking out a little bit on certain things. But in the end, it paid off.
I can tease DJ now because the content stage was like, I mean, literally every element of the event at some point or another had an issue, right? Stuff went down. We lost a computer. Like, there was a computer running the laser tag, and all of a sudden the laser tag, which had been flawless all tour long. And I think this was in Houston. Laser tag is down for a couple hours. Like, everything had a hiccup except for the content stage. So saying that, and I know DJ's smiling because I can see him on my cell phone as I walk around the house. The other thing, though, is I do want to make sure everybody understands that we now refer to DJ in the studio as the process guy. Which, of course, I'm kidding. But DJ was great, and there were lots and lots of learnings.
Very cool. Laird brings up a good...
I loved how people came and owned stuff. And I'm sorry, I'm just going to start riffing now. How cool was it that by the end of the show, I mean, man, the 405th was owning their spaces.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, hey, 343, hey, Hershen, leave us alone. We got this. We're making it better.
And they did.
You know, or frankly, you, like, right, with the game show. And then, like, just seeing, like, I mean, I don't know how many folks, you probably didn't get a chance to get down to the Covenant Escape, but, man, there was a comedy show going down in front of the Covenant Escape, and, like, people singing happy birthday to each other, and, like, just, like, again, just owning it, like, you know, everybody, like, over at the laser tag, owning it and, making it special and making it unique, and every now and then mixing in a cheat code for Jason in a match somewhere. But, you know, other small things that happen.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I talk too much.
No. That's good.
I guess the good thing about the podcast format is that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be talking.
Yeah. It's for banter.
I love a microphone, man. It's a good place for me.
Yeah. I agree.
We like having you on.
It's fun. Have to DJ. I'm going to need some streaming coaching.
I'll be up there on the 30th. Roby's help. Yeah, I'll be up there with Roby on the 30th. Actually,
oh, sweet.
Yeah, he's helping me build out my new stream rig. So we're going to do that live on his show.
Oh, cool.
Roby Tech.
Yes,
that'd be cool. Have to keep me informed on that one.
Absolutely, it's going to be really neat. I'm excited because I may have left my PC on regularly while we were on tour, so that we had bots and things like that. And yeah, it kind of you leave it on for 7 days in a row, and it may or may not have issues.
It takes on a life of its own, right? It's its own new ecosystem.
There were several moments when I was furiously working backstage on finishing slides for the game show where I'd be remote sessioned into my desktop to get certain puzzles, because some people have been surprised by this. I don't know why it's that surprising, but all my game shows were run with PowerPoint, And some of my scripts only work on a Windows instance of PowerPoint. So I had to remote desktop into my Windows box to run certain scripts, because all my import scripts for the puzzles only ran on Windows. So I had to do that and then pull the slides onto my local laptop, do changes there. So I was sending stuff back and forth the entire time to get that stuff. And every show except for Anaheim, I was working up to the minute to get the game show ready.
It's about the power of Windows, since we're going to make this a commercial here.
There we go. That's.
I know where
what
my
can Windows do for you. To find out more, go to windows.com.
No, not a real website.
This sounds like we're back actually. In the late 90s, early 2000s.
Right.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Laird actually brings up a good kind of question that's an inverse of what I just asked, but what was the most rewarding experience that you personally gained from Outpost? I know we kind of talked about what was the coolest thing that you saw, but what, like, you personally, from a either professional or just kind of a personal experience, what was the thing that really that you gained from the most from Outpost?
John, you want to go with this one first, or?
If you got something tip of tongue, go for it.
I am going to say patience and process. You know, I guess that's kind of, I guess, once again, when you're in control of your own studio and doing what you're doing, I'm running it all. That's what I do. I'm a streamer. When it's a group effort, it's all about taking that step back, breathing, going, okay, all right, well, how do we achieve this? It may be different than my vision, but that's the whole point. We're adapting and getting the process refined as quickly as possible to just let go of the preconceived and just allow this thing to become a living entity. And ironically, that patience has continued to stay with me with a lot of different things, which is good. It's a plus. And I'm going to have to point the finger at James Monismith for that one. He really taught me a lot about that.
Cool.
Oddly enough.
That's really cool.
You're being way too nice to James here. I feel like I need to throw in some snark. But sorry.
He's your better half, right?
Yes. Professionally, I had a stretch of time leading up to Outpost where I was in some kind of weird overdrive state, and folks on my team or extended team, unfortunately, would get emails at all sorts of weird hours. I get up really early, so they get emails at all sorts of weird hours in the morning and evening and stuff. Professionally, the joy of like having such an amazing team of people that care so much about what they're doing was like the trust fall. It was really learning how amazing folks are that you got around you and trusting them. And I'm still not always great at it, but I'm trying to exercise the muscle more and more of just like taking that step back. And there are fantastic people, on my immediate team and extended team across the studio and extended team across the event, DJ's team and, all the folks there and the operators at each of the stations. And that was like professionally, it was really rewarding. By the time you're walking the show floor at Anaheim and it's like, there's Big Zach over there and he's got it and laser tag's awesome. And I don't need to stop by on Friday morning because I know he's going to have that thing humming and he's going to be ready when it opens. And so like that trust process is really great and really, really powerful learning for me. And then at the personal level, it's funny because I'm like a serially solo player gamer. Like I love the big worlds and, but I'm not, I'm just not great. So multiplayer has never been my thing. And then, but I live in a world where, community and multiplayer is important. And so I understood it academically and strategically, and I can PowerPoint with you and I can stat with you and all this other stuff. But personally, to really learn like deep in your core what a gaming community is and what it means, and seeing people rally together around each other in great moments like wedding proposals and difficult moments, God, that was rewarding. And that's something that's really changed how I even think about what I'm doing today, in terms of planning for anything from a toy line to how we're working on sizing on things and stuff like that. And So that, like, Outpost Discovery definitely has left some marks on me all over the place, and a lot of really good ones.
That's cool. I will say too, it was really cool to meet a bunch of people and especially see all the staff working the different events or attractions or stands and that kind of stuff. Most everyone there had some interest in Halo.
Absolutely.
That's pretty hard to get, where it's like, okay, you just have you rent a line person who knows how to do lines or something like that. It's not often you get people that are actually interested in Halo and get excited about it and get excited about getting other people excited. So that was really cool to see. And there were several people that I got to know really well. And by the time Chicago and Houston and Anaheim rolled around, I could just wave to people and strike up a conversation and just really get a chance to interact with people on a really cool and more intimate level.
I think that was one of those neat things that I'd never actually done before. I mean, you go to PAX and those kind of events and you get to meet fans and things like that, but getting to tour the country and meet not just channel fans that I have from my channel who came to these events, but also because my channel was created and based and has always been based in the Halo universe. And then I've expanded out to other games. It is amazing watching and getting to meet them across the country, people I've only spoken to for years, but never gotten a chance to physically meet, showing up. I mean, Rage More Nerd was there for multiple weekends in a row. In fact, I'm pretty sure he's still in chat.
He's in chat, yep.
He's in chat. Yeah, Rage was there, and was, you know, he and I, you know each other since Griffball Hub. And getting to experience this with somebody that I've had that much history with was absolutely awesome. Aw, much love, dude. Love you too. It was great. You know, it's having your family there, your Halo family. And we talk about a lot about that with, you know, those of us in that our little tight knit Halo community for PAX West. It's our Halo family. PAX West is as much was always as much of a family reunion as it was, you know, going and doing gaming stuff. And this was an entire summer of that we got to do, and getting to meet so many different people. I got to meet Pence Halo. I got to meet a ton of people, and it was heartwarming because you see the one thing that we all had in common, and it is Halo,
and it is beautiful.
It's a good time to be a Halo fan. It is.
GT, I know I've been hogging the spotlight. Do you have any questions that you would like to ask either DJ or
no?
John?
About the only thing I gotta say is, you know, I have to really compliment the Discovery team of how quickly and how efficiently they responded to the problems that they had in Florida. I was truly impressed with the turnaround on that. It's not common for stuff like that to happen that quickly. I, you know, after hearing the feedback from Orlando, I thought, oh God, people are not going to want to show up to the next one. And, you know, you guys just turned it around and made it just this wonderful thing. And I was truly impressed with it. That's pretty much all I got to say.
Thank you.
It was a very fluid process. There was never a point at which we looked at the project and said, all right, what looks good on paper is what we're going to stick with. And that's just the way it's going to be done. It was always all right, well, that looks good on paper. And now we have 19 hours to figure out how to make this better, how to make this a more enjoyable experience, how to fix this flow issue and how to do that. And it was sometimes a 20-hour workday. Because we were coming up with it. And like Sean said, you might go to bed and then wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning going, oh, I know how to fix this. And then immediately there goes the email, and hoping that everybody else is on silent and you're not waking people up. And then sometimes you'll end up with a response back at like 4:30 in the morning. And it, you know, that was how we were. And it was a nonstop process, but it was worth it because I think it was reflected really, really well in how adaptable and how consistent our intentions for making it a great experience for the attendees and focusing on the attendee experience each time in each city we hit in.
Yeah, it definitely showed from city to city. At least that's how I see it.
I thought it was cool how you had different, like, it just, the audiences were really different region by region, and the places that folks traveled from were different region by region, and I thought that was really cool. I'm not going to lie. True. I also like that the food was good city by city, because I'm not shy about making sure, certainly by the end of the weekend, that we would go find some awesome food.
Yeah.
But it was really cool. Like, you just had like pockets of people from different places, like a whole caravan of people from Denver ended up in Texas. And then you had like, you know, like in Chicago, we had a couple people over from Sweden. And it was just like these pockets of stories that were so cool in terms of, you know, how each city felt different too.
And how was, because I know a big population of the Halo community, it's really popular in Mexico, and with Houston being the closest city, how was that part of the community in Houston?
We had both Houston and Anaheim.
Yeah, Anaheim too, yep.
Yeah, we definitely had pockets of both, and I know that, I mean, man, just based on what I see on social media, I mean, one of the things that I would love to do is I'd love to, we're still, you know, trying to figure out how we can bring, you know, Outpost or parts of Outpost, and I don't know what you would call, like, a, you know, if you send a couple drop pods off on their own or whatever, but man, like anything that we can do in Mexico is going to be unbelievable. So there's still lots more things to figure out, but bringing it to life was pretty amazing. And we don't like talk about the physical stuff, like just actually walking into a Halo space.
Yeah, I still like my term firebases.
Yes.
Getting to watch that be built was one of the coolest things, especially the Hall of History, because you walk in, you know, I would get there on Tuesdays, and generally speaking, the floors were pretty blank. You know, they were still putting up the light riggings, and carpet was, you know, getting planned out, and there were pieces of sets all over the place. And then you watch over the next 72 hours as everything just kind of flows together, and it was, I was always awestruck.
Did someone take a time lapse?
No. I would try and take pictures from the same spot over a couple of days, but then I would end up getting there and know what I need to get done and be so focused on that I would forget to take a picture, and I'd come back and yeah.
Yeah. That would have been cool to see the setup.
That's a year two time lapse.
We had good intentions. I think we actually even bought the GoPro in Orlando, and then there were too many other things.
It was Orlando.
Ahead of it in the queue. And so we just never set up the stop motion.
Sure. It's all good. If this were to happen again, which it sounds like there's definitely a lot of hope and desire for it to happen again, what would be some things that you would change, either based on community feedback or based on other things that you've heard or just kind of personal preference for, say, a second year of Outpost?
Well, let's make this more interactive. I mean, you got to go to a bunch of them and you're really plugged into the community. I mean, what would you wish for?
I have a laundry list. It might take more than an hour to go through.
Give me a couple top items.
I do want to go to bed before midnight. Central time.
No, this is a phone call between me and John and DJ or some other time to go through all of this. I think for me, really, and like I had plenty of time to talk with you in person, and definitely had a lot of ideas shared there. But I think for the most part, my big ones is, like, I know there's only so much you can do at a convention center, and there's certain regulations from either city code or state code or whatever, but a little more, I guess, not to try to overuse the term, but immersive. Like, there's a lot of the experiences spread out, and it definitely got a lot better from Orlando. Things kind of got broadened a little bit tighter. Things flowed a lot better. And like you mentioned before, bringing the VR stage close by the main stage, I think was a huge thing, because it made my game show a lot more popular and a lot more interactive when I got feedback from the VR line. That was so much fun. But just, I guess, a little more of the Halo universe effect in either the surroundings for the convention center or a few more things that make it a little bit more feel like you're kind of in the futuristic stuff or in a futuristic Halo type destination.
So what I'm hearing is more robot coffee, really.
I mean, I guess, sure.
Yeah, and we should definitely stage it in Houston, because they already built all the futuristic stuff for us.
Right?
There you go.
Yeah.
And then I think another thing that really stuck out to me too was the Hall of History. And I know when we got the pitch, this was kind of pitched to us as this is something that we want you to bring, be able to bring your family to, like someone who's maybe not necessarily involved with Halo as much as you are, but that you can bring them and kind of introduce them to what Halo is. And at some level, I kind of understand the Hall of History is a very baseline set of kind of primitive facts within the Halo universe, but I feel like the Hall of History could definitely evolve into more of a museum type piece, where if you go to the American Art Museum or the Hall of, or the Museum of Natural History and that kind of stuff, there's these different aspects and areas of set pieces and the placards and all that stuff. And I felt like the space to me could have been a lot more effective, and you could have put a lot more in there with a lot more really cool stuff, even in universe, with obviously because it was supposed to be, this is the UNSC's portrayal of how the history is and all that stuff. I feel like there could have been more done with that.
Well, so that's a really interesting comment, because the, like, one of the things I think we did really well is we definitely provided a really cool place for people who've been fans of Halo for a period of time. And we saw a good amount of people who are sharing Halo with other people they love, but maybe, you know, haven't been as exposed to it. But I don't think we did as good a job as we could have as providing really easy on-ramps for new fans to just show up. We didn't see groups of people coming who were not, like, every group that came had at least a couple super Halo fans. Mm-hmm. And we didn't get those groups of people who were like, hey, I'm just into video games and like never played Halo. I want to check this out. And so it's an interesting balance, because it's like, you know, do you just take it and make that Hall of History like deeper and richer and, you know, for the super lore fan, or how do you also create that at the same time so that you do have those easy on-ramps? And when you're explaining to people, hey, we're going to be in Houston this weekend and, you know, come on down. If you just like cool entertainment stuff, check it out. So like there's balancing stuff that we have to figure out. I mean, one of the things that was great about the experience that we, from a community point of view, it feels like we really, you know, and it, you know, over the course of the summer, and if you look at the sum total of it, we really resonated with a lot of communities, and the goodwill in the community and the communities, different communities bridging to each other was great, right? But I certainly want, and one of the reasons that we set out originally with the strategy of looking at experiential or bringing Halo to life in real world ways, was we also want to create those on-ramps for, you know, the next, you know, tens of millions of people to get into Halo 2. And mm-hmm. So that's certainly like, that's something that we're actively and constantly thinking about.
Yeah. I'd be really curious and really hopeful to see some of that stuff added. And then I guess the other couple of things too, without really diving into a whole lot more discussion, is a lot of the panels that I tried to pull together were things that weren't really covered within the Outpost space. So you have a lot of machinimators and machinimas out there that have hours upon hours of play content. And I know there's definitely some gray area there where you don't want to endorse certain types of machinima and whatnot, but just having maybe like a TV in the VIP room that constantly is like showing machinima 24/7 or for the open times of the show. Also the Forge community. We had a really cool thing happen to us in Anaheim where we actually got Michael Shore on from the Forge team. So it was cool to see 343 participation there, but I know there's only so much for this first year you could do, but getting a little more of that community representation for a lot of these other smaller pockets within the Halo community would be a really cool addition to the Outpost experience. And there is that kind of weird line of, okay, this is supposed to be in-universe UNSC propaganda type of thing, but then where do you kind of break that fourth wall to, okay, this is actually what the Halo universe as a fan base is, and here's everything that happens. And that the main stage was kind of that deviation from that, and the armory stage as well. And then everything else was kind of in universe. So it'd be interesting to see if maybe you can break that out of universe, but inside the franchise wall a little bit, and include more of that. Hey, this is what the Halo community actually is. It's all these different pockets that really make up this bigger fan base of Halo. And then, oh, this is actually in universe. This is all the UNSC propaganda type stuff. So that's my very high level.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in there. And I'll take it, but I'll extract from that and go to a slightly different altitude or level.
Maybe you and I can have a phone call discussion at some point.
Just like the sharing of content around the physical spaces. Would love to have done a better job. Frankly, you know, we just didn't understand quite as much, but I would love to have the panel stuff. I mean, I would love like have more streaming capabilities so that it's out there and available in the world. Have it available so it's around the spaces, because in some of those convention halls, the spaces are, you know, decent between, you know, an escape room and a content stage. So there's, you know, even, you know, and then to some extent, you create the environment and you let people own it. It's funny, you wouldn't believe, maybe you would, how much time we spent trying to make sure the outpost was canonical and fiction, and then the stage area was, you know, like not necessarily contiguous, because like we didn't want to mix, hey, what's in fiction and what's just part of like being a Halo fan.
Yeah.
And you know, and by the time you got through one event, you realized, hey, people are there, they get it, they're with you. You don't have to, like, it doesn't have to be perfect. If you have VR next to the stage, nobody's going to freak out because the VR is in universe and the stage is not. Like, so there was just a lot of learnings where we're like, oh, got it. Yeah. And like people, you know, the community, quote unquote, had our back, and people, when they go to an event like that, they know when to turn that part of their brain on and off. And we just had to learn how to trust them. So even some of those layouty things we need to process and get better at, and, you know, put stuff tighter together in some spaces and spread some other things out. So
I'll say this about that. Given how much adjustment went into the show and the continued evolution of what we were presenting in each city as we went on, and everybody saw how much better it got, we set the bar for year one and on five events to get it perfected as far as we could. We set an incredible bar, in my opinion. And I think that going forward, we've got a great launching point, because we know by the time Anaheim rocked out, we know how to do what we did in Anaheim, I'd say pretty darn well and pretty darn fluidly. And if we can manage that, imagine what could happen going forward.
Pretty exciting. Pretty cool to think of what the future could possibly hold.
Cue theme music.
Exactly. Well, I will say from my vantage point, it was definitely one of the most memorable summers I will ever have. It was crazy. I definitely have a better appreciation for the stuff that you guys go through on planning stuff, because it was basically, let's see, I started doing panel planning in, I guess, March. So I was working like crazy from March through the end of September, or the end of August, on all the panel stuff and all the game show stuff. So I mean, it's not nearly as much as you guys did, but I definitely have a lot more appreciation on what it takes to put on a convention and do a roadshow at multiple stops every so often.
Yeah, there were some learnings there too. It turns out taking a giant thing and moving it from city to city every couple of weeks and just going all the way across the country, it's not easy.
Yeah.
So, and actually, that's one thing. I mean, for folks who are listening, I hope people appreciate, like, we are. It's really passionate, and thankfully there are a lot of people around our team and our extended team who are incredibly skilled. You know, we're trying to do the best we can to do justice to the universe that we all love, but sometimes it's a crazy lot of work, and sometimes we miss stuff and stub our toe. But hopefully one of the things that the community got a feel for is, you know, we listen, we learn, and we try and get better.
Definitely. And like GT said, you guys responded really well to all the issues at Orlando, and I saw it got better at every city that we went to. And by the time Anaheim rolled around, it was just as smooth as butter.
I'm glad that that's what you guys saw. I'm glad that's what you experienced.
I'm obviously putting a little bit of a filter on, because I know some of the behind the scenes stuff, which I can't divulge, but
you know, when I was teaching broadcasting at the college, we call it perspective dynamics. And that is, so long as what you see on camera is what you see on camera is the only thing that matters. So long as that is what the public experience and that is the experience that you guys had, I am overjoyed because that means what we pulled off was good. That's a good thing. So long as nobody saw any of the fires in the background, any of the panic, you might have seen me sprinting back and forth across the floor a couple dozen times, maybe 100 in a day.
I mean, we totally did these.
But
your poker face is not the best.
I got to see more than most people, but that's just because of other reasons.
But you're right. But what we saw on screen was fantastic, and it kept getting better.
Yeah.
Here's a curtain. Here's good face DJ. Here's oh my god DJ.
Yep. Nope. That expression was several times an hour. No, but it was, and a huge shout out, of course, to everybody in the back. And there was a massive team at Hirschend and a massive team, like the event programming team on my side and 343 side, that just did an insane amount of work to pull this off. And I could not thank them enough for the amount of effort and the amount of understanding and patience and coordination that went through all of these different teams to make this happen.
Well, you start thinking of it and you can keep going. I mean, how about Jen and Steve?
Oh my gosh.
Just like, they're just the
troopers. Most
genuine, awesome, amazing people who just care. And, you know, and like, we know, like, they were, like, everybody wanted to see them and meet them and, you know, and they knew that too. And they, you know, worked with us, you know, every way possible, you know, without, you know, just extinguishing every, you know, last breath of life from their bodies. But like just so kind and generous and like such amazing, wonderful people to be around. And it was just like at every level of this summer, you keep coming back to stuff like that, which again, is like so many learnings there and so many great things to build on, but it all starts with the people.
Yeah. It was cool. I actually, unfortunately, I didn't get to watch any of their panels because I either butted up against one of my panels or my panels were during their panels. But I actually did get to run into them and just kind of have a little chit-chat with them. Steve Downs actually remembered me from when I met him during the very first kind of thing that really, I think, kind of spun this off, Halo Fest at PAX in 2011. So we actually met up there and we chatted for like 30 minutes before doors opened during one of the Halo Fest days. And then my wife and I were heading back to the hotel in, I think, Houston or Chicago at one point. And we, Jen happened to step onto our elevator and we chatted for a couple minutes until we had to split off to our separate rooms. And that was cool as well. I definitely have to give a huge thanks to you both, John and DJ, also KP and Sarah and Sketch, for putting in all the effort. Oh, and Megan and Jason and Arnold.
I'm sure so many people.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a couple other names that I'm missing out on, but you guys made my experience just that much better with working with me to make sure all my panels got approved, getting the game show on the main stage, which was mind-blowing and so much fun, getting all of the travel logistics and the hotel logistics all worked out. Like you guys actually were the ones that enabled me to actually get to every city and to do all the stuff that I wanted to do for the summer. And it was totally a unbelievable and unforgettable experience.
Definitely memorable. And you were a big part of that too, dude.
Yeah. And like, I can't count the number of times that either Kevin or Sarah or you or DJ or any of the event staff, any of DJ's team or anyone else was like, dude, you are totally in this 100% and it is incredible all the stuff you're doing. And like, there are several people that are like thinking I was crazy. And I kind of agree with them that I did way more than I probably should have. But in the end, it definitely felt worth it. And I think it was a very cool summer, to say the least.
I'm totally okay with saying not being applied to all of us. I feel like we're all a little bit crazy at times. In the right way.
Yeah, probably. And I have to give huge props to DJ for honoring me with my own set of Outpost jerseys, which I did get permission from Sketch to pull that video and post it. So I'll be posting it on my personal channel here pretty soon.
Good. Well, we couldn't have done it without you. It was a really amazing experience.
I'm sure you guys would have been fine, but I appreciate the support and definitely the just being able to get me there, and especially getting the game show on main stage. That was really cool. So, any parting thoughts from either one of you of Outpost? Anything you want to share about Outpost before we kind of close this chapter and hope for the future?
Go ahead, DJ.
From my own personal experience, sometimes you have to take a leap of faith and jump into something that is completely foreign, that you have zero experience in, and figure it out at lightning speed. And you'll find that you might actually be really good at something you never thought you were going to get involved in the first place. And it changes the direction of your life. So for those of you who just, if an experience pops up in front of you, if an opportunity pops up in front of you and it's something that seems awesome, but you're a little bit scared, if your gut says take the opportunity, take the opportunity, because it can turn into one of the most amazing experiences of your life. Just do it. Am I about to pay Nike for that?
I think that might let you slide on this one.
I think we're probably going to slide under the radar here.
Good. Okay, cool.
Watch me get in trouble now. For me, it's been a dream to, I'm just really thankful. We've wanted to bring the Halo universe to life and had ideas of what that would be. And this went so far beyond that. And we continue to want to, build on that foundation, build on the learnings, expand out from there. Super excited about what's to come for the franchise, super excited about what's to come for the things that, that I'm working on and our teams are working on. And mostly thankful for the amazing people and community that we got to meet and work with. And if that's the foundation, those people in that community, then we just, then there's a lot of awesome stuff to look forward to, from, meetups to, projects to, big things.
Most definitely. GT, any final thoughts?
No, everything's been pretty much covered. All right. I just want to thank you guys for putting on an awesome show.
Aw, thank you, man. We appreciate you having us on.
Maybe we can get you out to one of these at some point in time.
Yes. Yes.
Kansas City, baby.
Yes. Let's do it.
Jason right now.
Confirmed.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Year two. Come on. Let's get it going. Well, DJ and John, thank you both for, again, taking the time. I know it's been quite a year for you both, and for John, multiple years of getting this thing rolling. And it was really cool to see the end product, really cool to be a part of it and be just enveloped by Halo all summer long. My wife definitely enjoyed it. Did not like the traveling every other week, but that comes with the territory. Yeah. But you guys were awesome. And I mean, the list of 343 and Hershen people that were involved with this project is endless, and everyone deserves huge recognition for everything that they did for this show and everything that went into it. Again, one of the most memorable experiences of my life, and it was a great honor to be a part of it. And thank you for including me in it.
Thank you, man.
Where can people find you going forward? We'll start with John.
Try and stay pretty close to my office whenever I can, but occasionally traveling. I show up on Twitter every now and then as Juan's Amigo. So I guess that's where people can find me mostly.
Cool. DJ, I know a lot of our audience is familiar, but just in case we've got some new listeners, where can people find you?
Well, now I am back to full-time streaming. That is my job now. So you can find me on Mixer right here at DJ Blue PDX. You can also find me on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter at DJ Blue PDX. And we live stream every day. So there we go.
It does. And it's I will honestly say you are one of the few streamers that I make it a point to try to jump into every single stream that I can be a part of.
Aw, thanks. You know me, if it's not fun, I don't know what to do with it. So, so I may lose a lot, but I still have fun while I'm doing it.
And for the Halo fans, you do play Halo every Sunday.
I do. In fact, this Sunday, we've got another Halo Day coming up this Sunday. It'll be a lot of fun.
Very nice. Well, for us, you can find us Podtacular pretty much everywhere. You can find me at Duststorm pretty much everywhere with a few minor exceptions. I'm Duststorm17 on Facebook because someone else has Duststorm somehow. And then I'm Duststorm Pettigrew on Instagram. And GT, you want to plug your stuff?
You can find me at Godzilla Todd on Twitter. And you can also find me at Godzilla Todd on Mixer. I am not on Facebook. God. And I do have a YouTube channel, which I do have a few videos on. You can find me there at Godzilla Todd as well. And of course, my gamer tag is Godzilla Space T. Unfortunately, I can't change it to Godzilla Todd because somebody else has it. Somebody stole my name.
Probably the same person who took my hair.
Probably.
Well, this is not the end of our Outpost podcast for sure, but it's definitely the formal end of at least year one with having John and DJ on. What does the future hold? Who knows? Well, some people do, but those people aren't going to tell us. So,
stay tuned.
Yep.
Yes, there you go. We'll have several more follow-up Outpost shows. We are going to have pretty much every single panel that I did this summer. We're going to have a corresponding podcast episode coming up here within the next month or two. And then some of you probably caught our 700th episode where we did the Halo Outpost game show. DJ was a part of that. And who knows, that might make another appearance on the podcast or maybe just some sideshow type of a thing. I might get Jeopardy working and we might see if Dragonite and Xbox One can outdo each other in Jeopardy.
Right? That would be interesting. That'd be a battle for the ages.
That would be really cool to see. Well, that's going to be it for us tonight. We're going to skip the special outro stuff. We'll kind of resume our normal podcast for next week. But John and DJ, again, thank you so much for all of the work that you put in this summer. And a definite high praise to you both and everyone else who was involved. All the names that we mentioned, plus more. It wouldn't have been the experience it was without every single person involved.
Agreed.
With that said, thanks everyone for listening to us via download or watching us live. We will be back here on stream tomorrow night at 8:30 for our Fraggin' Fridays on Halo 5. I will be back on Sunday with another achievement stream playing. I don't know what yet, but we'll figure that out by the time it gets around. And then come right back here on Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll be recording episode 706. And with that, keep on fragging them trucks.